This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock.com, get that awesome new video, vector art, or photo for that hot new project. That's Shutterstock.com. For 30% off any new account, use the code WOW5.
Reforging.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, episode 323. That's right, you heard it right. The World of Warcraft podcast that just won't stop it. My name is Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by no one. Well, I'm joined today by a lovely chat room. I got a chat room full of fine people who are with me on a Saturday, which is weird because we usually record on Fridays. And due to some scheduling conflicts yesterday, mostly initiated by me, we were unable to do it. However, normally Terpster would be here, but he is in Scotland on a vacation, or as they say, holiday. Say it with me now. Holiday. We are on holiday. And as a result, he's not able to call and be on the show. I don't know where Dills is. Dills seemed to, yesterday was good at this time, but I have a feeling he maybe is all snookered out, if you know what I mean. Get it? Do you get where I'm coming from there? Snookered out. I guess he's playing billiards now, so it's not the same. Sort of the same. Anyway, so I'm going to count on the chat room to call in today a little bit. If they are so inclined to do so, they can Skype us here live at My Extra Life. They don't have to add me or anything. They can just call. Be happy to take questions, comments, thoughts on the news of the day, which there's a bit, so we'll get to that in a minute. Not a huge week, so we can kind of chill a little bit. Now, I know a bunch of you at home are going, oh, man, I like the dynamic of the multiple people. And you'd be right. That's why we have that. But come on now. Don't be, what do they call them? What are the fans? Sunny day fans? What do they call them? I forget now. The ones that only support the teams when they're winning? What are they called? Fair weather fan. Thank you. Batsulium, or whatever your name is. Batulism in the chat room. Yeah, the fair weather. Don't be a fair weather fan. Stick it out. We've been doing this show for a long time. Occasionally, every once in a freaking lifetime, I do a solo show. And when I do, it's fine. It's not a huge deal. I just didn't want to give you a weekend without anything. And maybe you're saying to yourselves, well, this is good as not having it. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I hope you enjoy yourselves nonetheless. So let's talk about what we've been doing this week. Well, I spent some time in LFR and got nothing. Seems to be my lot lately. I don't get anything in LFR. I did a few weeks ago, but lately I'm not getting anything. And as 5.3 hurtles toward us at rapid speed, like you'll hear in the news, it's all we have to do in the game right now is the LFR. Right? And most of us who want to do endgame and don't have as much going on with their raid teams. I mean, it's interesting, and I'm part of the problem, certainly, but this is the cycle, and it's right around this time of year, right before the big third patch, and right before school gets out, and a lot of other factors. Spring is here, the weather's nice, it affects raid teams. So if your raid team is not a professional raid team, chances are you're having trouble on raid nights having complete groups. Be they 10 or 25 men, and we're having that trouble right now. And I'm one of the trouble spots. I mean, I'm one of the ones that isn't always up to the challenge, given all these things that are going on. Plus, I'm super busy. We got Nerdtacular in a couple of months, and to take all those excuses for what you want, but it is the nature of Endgame and WoW, and that's how the cycle works. But you're about to get a fresh new chunk of content, and that usually brings people back pretty hardcore for a while. And then you've got that weird long wait until expansion news. And we're not going to know what that is probably till November at BlizzCon is my safe bet. So that'll roll around. Morhaime will get up. We're happy to announce the next expansion is goblins focused or whatever. Whatever it's going to be. I mean, I know we already got our goblins, but I think a whole expansion devoted to the dirty underbelly of goblin politics, that'd be one hell of a thing. Don't take me seriously. That would be a bad idea. But anyway, there we'll find out then, but we're not going to find out until then. So there's going to be this big chunk of time where we're going to have to be very happy or as happy as we can be with what has come before. So hopefully 5.3 fits the bill for a lot of that, and I think it will. But yeah, hunker down for the long summer, ladies and gentlemen. That is what summer is for. That's for WoW players to feel like they don't have as much to do as they did when they first got the expansion. Just the way it is. We'll talk more about that a little later, too. What else? D3, Diablo 3, is enjoying their one-year anniversary as of last Tuesday. I guess this last previous Tuesday. 1 year ago, 12 mere months ago, they launched that game to much excitement and, for some, consternation, given the connection problems they had for the first 48 or so hours. And some misgivings about real money auction house and all that. Remember when that was just all the talk for like days? It's all you heard about. And now I'm just really enjoying playing it. So as a result, they did a week-long, it goes till Tuesday, I believe, a week-long bonus XP and magic find buff on any character you're playing. You just see it. It kind of just shows up above your action bar and says, check it out. Extra XP and magic find. Way to go, buddy. That's all well and good. I like it. I just met up with Diablo for the third time in the game and got beat and got out. But I've got more rares and I've gotten more legendaries than I ever have in the game. So I actually think they really are giving you a major bonus right now. So if you have any interest in that at all, check it out, man. Diablo 3. Woo! And in the meantime, I've made it my goal between now and, let's say, oh, I don't know, maybe till the end of time. But I've been checking out a lot of free-to-play MMOs just to see what they're doing, comparing their models. So that on the show, we can kind of, when we talk about such things, we know more about what they're actually doing. Like, you know, how a game like Guild Wars 2 might handle it, where you paid for the initial game. Another example being Resistance. Is it Resistance? Not Resistance. Whatever that thing's called. The Tryon thing. Actually, I have it right here in the news. What's it called? Oh, hell, whatever it is. Resistance is the game I'm thinking of on PS3. Anyway. And Defiance, thank you. I knew it was something like that. I haven't played it yet, so that's one I haven't tried. But, you know, those games where you buy the initial game and then how they make money after the fact is very different than the way another might do it. So the way Lord of the Rings Online might do it is going to differ sometimes wildly from the way DCUO does it or whatever. But because it feels like this is now the established method these companies are going to use to have revenue for their games, my interest has peaked in checking them all out and seeing how they do it. Not necessarily spending a bunch of money in those ecosystems, but seeing how people could spend money. I mean, I spent a little money. I threw $10 at Warframe, which is not an MMO, but it's more like a Diablo sort of action-y shooter game. But it's still, you know, leveling up and gearing up and modding your stuff and getting perks and all that. And I like that game a lot. I actually really like it. It's a good grind. But I really wanted to know what it would mean to spend money in there. So I did. I also spent $10 in War... what the hell's wrong with my brain today? I can't think of anything. Hawken. I put $10 in Hawken. And I bought enhancements to my mech and stuff you can get in that game. And that was interesting. So I'm dabbling in that way as well. And they're both games I really like, so it wasn't a big deal. In fact, this is what they're counting on. If their games are good and they're fun to play, you are likely to want to spend a little money in that ecosystem because you like those games. And in WoW's case, you're paying for something that you know you're going to pay $15 a month no matter what. Maybe you got 6 months ahead or a year at a time and you're saving a little bit of scratch. But the bottom line is you're paying a set amount a month, especially here in the States and the Western markets. And you know what you're going to get. And these other games, you don't ever have to do that. But occasionally you're like, well, What's $10? I'd play this game for 6 months for absolutely free. What's $10? Well, here's what they count on. This is what I'm learning. This may seem obvious, so I apologize in advance. And many of you have already stopped listening because I'm soloing this bitch. But they get, so they count on people every few months or every specific chunk of time getting to a point in the game's progress and going, oh, I'll just throw it in. What's $5? What's $10? What's $2? What's whatever? What's no big deal? Because you're enjoying it that much, it's not a big deal. You've paid it for, played for free for so long, and in your head you're thinking, well, geez, I may spend $10 total ever on this game and never spend another dime, which I guess is possible. Most of those games you can play without spending money if you don't want to. The good models, I believe. And so it is. It's just so interesting to me that that is the new normal for everybody that isn't World of Warcraft. And World of Warcraft sitting pretty on its 8.5 million, and maybe it's dropping because the game's... Look, it's almost... We're coming up on 10 years, guys. Do you remember? That game came out, all right? Vanilla WoW comes out, what was it, November of 04? Yeah. November, I want to say. I played beta, so I get confused on the dates. I played alpha as well. But anyway, so... When that game released, I know it was 04, I just can't remember what time of year. So that game comes out in 04, and the intro movie started with Blizzard Entertainment, and then up came this thing that said, celebrating 10 years of Warcraft. Do you remember that? When this hits next year, or next year when we're at the 10-year mark, and by the way, don't think that isn't a huge deal for whatever the expansion is going to be, because I think it will be, but they're going to be able to say 20 years of Warcraft. And 10 of World of Warcraft. I'm just saying, have some perspective, ladies and gentlemen. You know, I assume there are gentlemen out there listening. I know there are ladies, but 100% not sure on the gentlemen. Anyway, botulism. Oh, I guess it's botulism, not botulism. he says, man, they should mail us a freaking mug this year, a tangible, huge pint. Well, listen, let's ask the question. What does WoW do? Let's say for their 8+ million dedicated players who have not left the game, who have been there the whole time, what does Warcraft do to, what does Blizzard do to say thanks? Is it just another in-game pet? Is it bonus time in the game? Is it amount? Is it something physical? What is it? I would love to know what you guys think they should send us. You can call that in at My Extra Life on Skype. That's My Extra Life. You can call it right now and tell me throughout the show what you think they should do to celebrate the 10-year anniversary by saying thanks to you. New character models, that sounds fine. But again, these are game features that we're going to get anyway. I'm talking about something out of the norm, out of the usual. Like internally at Blizzard, everybody already knows this. When you hit like the 10-year mark, you get some amazing gift from management, right? And if you make it through to the 20-year mark, it's the, what is it, the Arthas helmet, or maybe that's 25. Whatever, I don't know what the days are, but they are known, Blizzard is known internally for giving you incredible rewards for staying loyal and working hard at their company. So why not a thing for some of us? Now, I know 8 million people is a lot, and even if you did a thing that only cost them $1 per person, that's $8.5 million. So it's an exponential problem in terms of cost. Now, certainly they have that kind of money, but you know what I'm saying? Hypothetically, I'm not even saying they're going to do this, but hypothetically speaking, what would you want? Or what do you think is a reasonable thing for them to give you? My Extra Life on Skype. And watch, I'll probably go the whole show today and no one will call. We have a smaller live audience today because we're doing this on a day we don't normally do it. So, you know, I get what I get. I reap what I sow. Anyway, I'm playing a lot of these free-to-play games. And right now, I got to tell you, of all of them, of everything I've been playing a little DCUO here and there, a little bit of Lord of the Rings Online, Guild Wars 2. Yeah, what else I put on there the other day? Well, anyway, and some of these free-to-play shooters and stuff. Of all of them, interestingly enough, I'm enjoying, I think it's, my brain's not working today at all with freaking names. Neverwinter is the one killing it for me right now. really, really liking Neverwinter. Technically still in beta, but for all intents and purposes, it's out and you can play it and they're not going to character wipe it and you can play. And I really like what they're doing with that game. I'm here to tell you, though, that is an ugly game. That is not a pretty game. Even, I think, by WoW standards. I mean, WoW, as old as that engine is, continues to pump out real personality with the visuals, and that's something I think Neverwinter needs. Pretty generic-looking dudes and stuff and places. It gets the job done. It's not the ugliest thing you'll play by any means, but I do feel like I'm playing something that came out in, like, 07 or 06 or something in terms of the visuals. But again, visuals aren't the important part. Gameplay is good, and the gameplay is really, really good. I know that there are a lot of friends of the program who work at Blizzard who are playing this behind the scenes and enjoying it, and that's usually a good sign that if somebody at Blizzard likes a game you're making, chances are you're making a pretty good game. Thus says the Blizzard fanboy inside of us all. Anyway, that's what I've been up to. That's what's going on. Let's just get some news out of the way.
Big news of the week. Big
news. Horde side.
Ah, yeah, big news. Let's talk about it. Brought to you by Typefrag. Typefrag, the best Ventrilo service you're ever likely to find anywhere. That's typefrag.com. Go check them out. I always talk about the 400-man server that we have running for our guild, and it pleases me to say, publicly and otherwise, that they've never let us down. And for a guild our size, which is in the thousands and thousands, it is it's a real important thing. The only downside of it is if we have a big guild hall or something and the officers and the council get in front of everybody to talk, that's still not enough room for us. But for you guys, whoever, you got 25 of your best friends, you need a good vent service, go to typefrag.com, typefrag.com, and get it today. If you're playing shooters and other stuff, it's good for that too. And they have Mumble and TeamSpeak. Did I mention that? All three. The triumvirate of voice-activated video game services. Typefrag.com. By the way, more than makes up for the fact that Typefrag is a service that runs Ventrilo servers, but Ventrilo is now, I don't know how old Vent is, but Vent has not changed. When's the last time they issued an updated client for Vent? Can anyone remember that? So since you're stuck with this ancient client with all kinds of weird methods of doing things, they really ought to update that. But if you're gonna use it, because it is the industry standard, you may as well have the best service behind it possible, and Typefrag will give that to you. All right. Big news, everyone. 5.3. Next week, it's happening. I had it wrong. I said June. I have been rebuffed by the world and the internet and the news. It is not June. It's going to be 5.3 is going to come out on May 21st. That's next Tuesday. It's also Microsoft, whatever the next Xbox is, day. They're going to announce that in the morning. This was an official tweet by the @Warcraft account that said, World of Warcraft patch 5.3 escalation is releasing Tuesday, May 21st. So if you want to get your sweaty hands, your sweaty palms on 5.3 and hop in there, that's going to happen. Then they put up a big post about how to be prepared for the big release. Some of the preparation recommendations are things like hold on to some of those currencies you've been earning over the course of 5.2. The gear upgrading void binders are returning in patch 5.3, but it will be cheaper to upgrade items using Valor and Justice points. Upgradable PvP items from Season 12 will be eligible for upgrade once again at their original costs. In addition, heirloom items will be cheaper to upgrade, whether you're using just Justice points, Honor points, or Dark Moon Fair tickets. They're also speeding up the traveling process from 85 to 90, and you guys knew about that. Let's see. A reminder, 85 to 90 will be reduced by 33%. Again, we've talked about that. They actually say in the article, time to dust off those alts. If that's not Blizzard's way of saying why they're doing the drop in XP, I don't know. I don't know what is. Let's see. The amount of Honor and Dark Moon Fair tickets needed to upgrade heirloom items will be reduced by 60%. So do not spend your money before Tuesday. If you did, then you have not learned your lesson over many patches in World of Warcraft, because this happens every time. Currency issues and what happens with the next patch are a big deal. Oh gosh, let's see. If you're ready to face the Raid Finder, Heroic Dungeons, and new Heroic Scenarios, make sure you're geared to dive right in. So minimum Heroic scenario average item level needs to be 480. Unlike normal scenarios, you'll need a pre-made party to enter. That's important to note. You can't just go in randomly. You got to find two of your best friends and go. An average item level of 435 is required for heroic dungeons. That's not too bad. An average of 460 required for raid finder version of Mogoshan Vaults. An average of item of 470 required for raid finder versions of Heart of Fear and Terrace of Endless Spring. Isn't Heart of Fear, is it already 470 now? Or has that gone down? Because 480 for Throne of Thunder is already in there. Did it go down? I don't know. Anyways, there's a whole bunch of changes. We'll link to it in the show notes. It's long. They want you to know what's changing, though. So all over the place here in the... look at that. That's, some of these pictures are interesting. I won't spoil any of that, but... Looks like it's time to go get Garrosh. Let's do it. Let's do this. I mentioned Diablo 3's anniversary. Better XP and magic find for a week. Yay. Pretty excited about that, so make sure you check that out. I think I've said all I need to say there. Bad news in the world of MMOs, I guess. Rift is going free to play in June. Remember Rift? The game almost caused a rift in our show. Because I remember one time I mentioned it and said it was all right. And the internet lost its crap about us even talking about it. We were so defensive about some other game coming along. Because at the time, I mean, nobody had really challenged the throne much. This is before Tor, so that was before they had their big day in the sun to try or fail. And I meant to mention this. So I said I was going to check out this what the free-to-play offerings are. And one of the big obvious ones is Tor, like what's going on with Old Republic. And I thought, all right, I'll log back in and check it out, see what they're doing for the free-to-play parts of this. They have that new expansion. Let's see what that is. Give them a chance, you know. I go in there. I can't get in because they say I still need my authenticator that's tied to my account, which I've killed that app ages ago. I don't have that anymore. So I'd have to start either a brand new account with no authenticator attached to it or go through a nightmare of customer service to get that done. So guess what I did? I didn't play Tor. Way to go, guys. Way to get your old people back. Good job. Anyway, Rift goes free to play in June. Rift is maybe the last premium game to be the big holdout, right? Like they've been sitting on their can going, I don't know when we're going to do this, but all the writing seemed to sort of be on the wall. This is Trion Worlds, who also, like you said, has Defiance out there in the wild. And there's been a lot of back and forth about what it means for Rift to go free to play. They claim they're going to go the route of it's mostly cosmetic and some XP boosters and things like that, but they're, for the most part, you're going to be able to play the game as in full and the way you'd want to play it. Then like 2 days later, they announced these layoffs, big layoffs at Trion Worlds. Over 100 people are affected. Apparently most of them are people who work on Defiance. And we already had a big layoff. People have forgotten about it previously where Trion lost a bunch of people on the Rift team. And at the time, they claim, well, that's just the normal fall off you have at this stage of MMOs. And everybody seems to say that except Blizzard. But even Blizzard had a big layoff a couple of years ago, if you guys recall, a year and a half ago, whatever it was. So this stuff happens. But anyway, I just think it's interesting to have them join the fray. And it made me think, are there any... I know some of these games have a way to pay a premium and pay that way on to play the full game or get extra stuff or something. But are there any more games that at least... aren't full free-to-play or don't offer some kind of free-to-play option in existence now? Who else is there? Chat room, come on now. Oh, I know. Eve. Okay, so there's Eve. Don't forget about Eve. Is it nowhere near? Okay, so this is interesting. Zella Feline says, according to Joystick, there's an update. They're now saying it's nowhere near 100 layoffs. I think what they said is nowhere near the 80% number, which doesn't really give us a specific number. And I'm trying to find where the 100 number was thrown around. But yeah. I mean, one way or the other, you've got big news about you being, this is on Massively, who owns Joystick, but, or is owned by, AOL owns them all. But anyway, the point is that I don't know that this is great to have your big news of the week be, yeah, we're going to free to play where everyone makes 300% more profit by the next year. And we're so excited and can't wait to bring it to you. And here's what we're going to do. And then 2 days later, oh, and we're laying off a whole bunch of dudes. So never, never a good thing. But anyway, good luck to those guys. And hopefully they get sucked up into other roles at other companies where it makes a lot of sense. Oh, IGN was saying 100%, not 100 people. Oh, well, IGN is smoking crack. We'll never be 100%. You don't come out and go, we're going free to play. Oh, and we're firing everyone. No one else works here. It's the CEO and his brother. Emmerich, you're right. Does not give a good impression, but I think it is important to note. Like, it's like anything. Blizzard comes out with their quarterly report and says, we're down to 8.5 million. Everybody on the internet wants to leap on that and go, see, WoW's failing. It's failing. It's a writing's on the wall. And they want to, they're like, they're all analysts somehow. I heard a quote from Billy Bob Thornton this week. I know that seems like a weird source for this, all right? But somebody was asking him how he feels about bad reviews of movies he's in or work he's done or whatever of his public persona. And he says it's a lot easier. I can't remember the exact words. And it sounds like simple anti-troll thing to say, but something to the effect of, I don't care if you're even mediocre at it. I don't care if you're even bad at it, but at least you're out there trying to do it. And you're not the guy sitting behind a computer screen who thinks he can tell you all the things you're doing wrong. That guy's not out there trying it. You're out there trying it. And that automatically makes you far better than whoever's making those comments. It was really interesting, but it got me to thinking about how in the video game sphere, there's so much anti this and bandwagon that, and WoW sucks because they're 8.5, and Rift sucks because they had layoffs, and Tor sucks because they had to go free to play, or, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I may have an opinion on some of those things. Like, I think Tor made me bored, but I'm not about to tell everyone else that it's not the game for them. Maybe it is. There are a lot of people who love that game and still play the hell out of it. And that's, you know what? Great, dude, you found your game. It just wasn't for me. To me, criticism can be, you can get on a pedestal and go, look, Tor, you can say Tor sucks and then just call it a day. Or you can say, I didn't like it, but let's have a conversation about why you might like it. Maybe you'll change my mind. Maybe I'll change your mind. Maybe we can come to an agreement. Maybe we can still disagree, but be civil about it. I wish there was a lot more of that going on, specifically in video game, I don't know, online discourse. And it doesn't exist anymore. If one guy hates something, he is the narcissistic dude that thinks, well, I hate it, therefore all should hate it. And I wish there was less of that. That's all. The more you know. Anyway, free to play. Firefall's taking forever to come out, though, Botulism. What's going on with that game? What is happening there? And I know a bunch of people are excited about, what's the other one? Damn it. The free-to-play, really well-animated looking MMO that's all the talk right now. Wildstar, that's it. Yeah, I'm interested in seeing that. That looks interesting. At the very least, the developers cracked me up with their latest movement video. I thought that was really funny. Guys, let me take a second and talk to you about Shutterstock.com. Oh, man, you love the Shutterstock.com. I do. Shutterstock.com is the perfect place to get the video you need for your next creative project or photo. The clips are amazing. I mean, there's tons of them in there, but the photos, holy crap. They put new stuff in all the time. 10,000 video clips each week. That many photos each week. You need vector art. They got you covered there as well. It's a complete offering with great customer service, dedicated reps, 24-hour support. If you're in a creative field, if you work for a company that needs to do presentations, video, even audio, photo work, portfolios, whatever it may be, Shutterstock.com has you covered. They use mostly contributions from professional filmmakers for their video and professional photographers for their photos. Well, here's the best part about it. You can try them out, see if you like them. If you do, because they have this no credit card needed, just start an account and check it out. check out, you know, what you can do in there, play around a little bit. When you decide to purchase, use the offer code WOW5. That's WOW5, all one word. And the five is a number. So number five, WOW and the number five. And get 30% off any package that's right now at Shutterstock.com. For 30% off, again, use the code WOW5. And we thank Shutterstock for their support. But yeah, it's what a weird thing. This whole world of MMOs and where it's come. Think about it. 8 years ago. So 8 years ago, eight, 9 years ago, WoW has this, comes into the scene. It says, all right, look, all you guys playing EverQuest and all you guys playing, I don't know, Ultima Online or whatever, when the norm was still, let's pay a certain amount of money per month to do a thing, right? And they came and said, we're going to be 15 a month, which was a big jump from the 9 that was kind of the average at the time. And I remember people kind of balking at that. And then it just took off and went crazy and killed even their own expectations for how big they could get. And that seemed like the thing you now had to aim for. If you were going to release a game into the MMO market and the increasingly more crowded MMO market, you were going to have to release a game that cost a monthly fee because this is the established norm that has now been laid down. That is where you would aim. So you have big companies and startups and everybody else trying to make a game like this. So you have EA and BioWare trying to do that with Tor, and it took them that long to get there to make it. And when they started, that was still the model. Okay, that was still the way you did it. You were still going to charge $15, and you were still going to make a ton of money that way. That's how the world worked. And the same was true when 38 made their stab at everything. And by the time that all fell apart for those guys, you know they were probably internally, before all of it fell apart, going, dude, we can't release a game that is mechanically and aesthetically and everything else built around the idea of a monthly fee. We have to change gears. And then you had all these other games come out and do very poorly subscription-wise, and immediately they throw the developers on, you guys, get this stuff so it's free to play like right now. And they did, and they've all claimed huge revenue increases, especially Lord of the Rings Online. They really kind of set the standard, but everybody else seems to be saying the same thing. And I think that's what Trion's hoping Rift does, that Rift's uptake will be a big deal. And you know what I kind of think? I think they might be right. I know I'll dive back in. I played a bunch for about 6 months. So my point is, jump ahead 8 years, what a different world. WoW's the only one with the old world established way of doing it. Nobody else was doing it that way, or nobody else is doing that way now. And they're now, like, they were one of many, now they're one of one. Nobody else can do it. And they should hang on to that for as long as they can. It makes sense because they are who they are and they're this juggernaut and you don't need to change it yet. But everybody else has, they're all going to be free to play. I guarantee you, when we get Elder Scrolls Online, I guarantee you that thing will be free to play. And time will tell. And we'll see if I'm wrong. Christopher's on the line. Christopher, what's up?
Hey, Scott Johnson. How are you doing?
I'm great, man. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, yeah, you know, I just downloaded Rift yesterday, you know, and I played it when it launched, you know, and I got right in and I loved it. Yeah. But the thing was, I just felt like there weren't enough people playing. So I spent all day playing yesterday and fired up a new character and I was having a blast. The fact that there are actually people on the servers.
How do you feel about it going free to play? Does that affect your wanting to play it, or what does that land on you?
You know, I think the model that they're doing where, you know, I checked out the little video they threw up on YouTube and, you know, it is cosmetic and, you know, a little XP boost, but they made it very clear that you don't need to subscribe or pay for anything to have an advantage, that the best stuff in the game will come from playing the game. Mm. So that makes me really excited because I really enjoyed the classes and the game. And to speak about what you were saying about Tor and having the authenticator,
Yeah. You
know, I had the same problem because I had the Rift Mobile authenticator and I'm thinking, you know, I upgraded from a 3GS to I have a 4S now and I'm thinking, oh, Christ, I'm going to have to go through, you know, customer service. And you know what? It took me 20 minutes with Trion.
Yeah, if they make it easy, great.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about Trion, when I think about Rift, when I pick that up again in June, when it goes free to play,
yeah,
I never had an authenticator attached, so I don't have to worry about it. I just get in and go.
I got into their live chat customer service, and it took 20 minutes. Yeah, it was no big deal at all. So well,
Tor continues to struggle with that support. Crap.
Yeah, has still been great, which is was the other plus about them is they seem to have such great developer support, you know. And I didn't hear about the layoffs until just now. So
yeah, it's sad. It's never good when anyone gets laid off, and I just feel like it's so easy to jump on these companies and act like somehow we knew it was coming and told you so. Kind of weird attitude. I don't understand why we all do that. I don't get why that's a thing.
Yeah, I know. It is a bummer, but it is kind of, you know, it's just the way that things are going to go in the business. And it's unfortunate for those getting laid off. But, you know, obviously they've worked for a company that's been successful. And, you know, hopefully these people can go and continue working in the industry and get some good jobs out there.
So, Chris, here's a question for you before I let you go. If you can you tell me what is it about, whether it's Rift or anything else, let's just say it's another game. Do you feel like... I mean, you'll probably, whatever you do when you go to play Rift, I'm sure you're not leaving WoW forever. Mm-hmm. What is it about those games or these other experiences that drives you to them and not just play WoW all day, every day instead? And just, is it just a change of scenery? Is it just a change of mechanics? Like, what is the draw for you as a player to go try something else?
You know, it's a little bit of both. I was a huge EverQuest 2 fan before WoW came out. So Rift, for me, it was kind of like a little bit of a blend between the two. So yeah, it's got a little more serious look. The graphics are different. And it's a new world to explore. I mean, I'm the kind of MMO player where I love playing with other people, but at the same time, I love exploring these huge worlds.
Yeah.
And it's this whole new world to explore for me. So I can sink my teeth way into a game like this, whether or not I'm playing with people. But still, it is an MMO, so I want to be with the guild. I want to be able to chat. And I think that's what's going to bring me back, is that there's going to be a stronger player base.
Right. No, I agree. And I think it will grow. And yes, you kind of get your buttholes in there, but I think it shakes out in the end, because you end up finding people who are like-minded and you play with them. And it's never a bad thing. And I like video games. Here's the thing I like. I like that Corey Stockton can come on this show, talk about what's going on with Pet Battles, talk about their plans with certain design aspects of WoW. Clearly, those guys are WoW heads through and through. But then I can read on Twitter that he and I both are excited about this, but he's more excited about getting the new Animal Crossing game for his 3DS than he is anything else. It's crazy. So it's really, I think it's really interesting. Anyway, thanks, Christopher. Appreciate your call, buddy. You guys can call in too if you'd like. My Extra Life is the Skype number, name, thing, whatever it is. You can call that. You don't have to add me. You just call it. All right, let's get to some tweets. Lots of discussion lately about gear and its place in the game. Why not simplify, do away with bracer, belt, boots, and one trinket? That's interesting, says a listener. And back at him, Ghostcrawler said, would that make loot feel more fun? So think about that for a second. If you take gear and simplify it, do away with bracer, belt, boots, and a trinket. Although boots, really? I think you take boots. You keep boots. But think about the idea of bracer, belt, and a trinket. Okay? Extra stuff, kind of superfluous. Just adds a few stats here and there. That's really all it's good for. It doesn't show up on you. You don't see it, really. I guess belt you kind of do, but it's not. It's who cares about a belt, right? And he didn't answer the question. Instead, he asked one. Would that make loot feel more fun? I don't know. I don't know about that. I mean, botulism says you'd get far less drops. And part of the fun of the game is to get drops. So I think that's the answer. I think I agree with that. Tinhead says, what's going to hold up my pants? That's a good point. But these guys make a good point. If you don't have upgrades and you don't have that loot thing happening occasionally. I mean, the same is true. Think about it. Any RPG, even action RPGs, to games like Diablo, if I'm running around in that thing. Or let's say in the new Marvel Heroes game, which I played the beta, which is pretty good, by the way. Running around that game, if Hawkeye doesn't get his hot new Hawkeye pants, well, then what good is that, you know? Or moreover, like if you didn't have these extra slots, like why do we add gems? You could start asking this question about a lot of things. If you're not going to have gemming in the game, well, what are you missing out on? Well, you're missing out on a chance to have one more thing to be excited about. So yeah, I got a chest to drop in LFR, but now I got to go talk to my jewel crafting buddy, or I got to go to the auction house and I got to find some agility gems, because then it's going to take things to a whole new level. Blah, 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 right? It's actually one of my complaints about WoW generally. I remember when I first played it and I thought, they're going to bring Diablo loot sensibilities to WoW. And they really didn't. And I don't blame them. It's a game design thing and I get why they did what they did. But I wanted more loot more often. And you don't get that now. You get a lot of pew, 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 get out of the poop, pew, 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 get out of the poop. And then maybe you get a drop and maybe you don't. And you go back next week and you try again. In Diablo, it's kill, 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 drop, 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 drop. That one's better. That one's worse. That one I can sell. I was hoping for that back in 2004 or 03 when I was playing Alpha Beta. But I feel like they've struck the right balance. For an MMO, it's a different thing. You can't just constantly be digging through loot. Or can you? Like, whatever their next game is, whatever Titan is, I'm really interested to see what that is, what they do with that in terms of loot frequency, gear frequency, or whatever the bonuses of playing that game are, whatever the drive is. Because in the end, you guys, this is all about the gear. Think about it. Boil WoW down to what it is. It's these three things for me. It's exploration and seeing something awesome and new all the time. That's number one. I love that. That's what I love about expansions. Number two, it's loot. It's loot, loot, loot all day long. And three, it's playing with your friends. To me, those three things are all that matter in the game. You can expand on those things. You can pad those things out. You can create, I don't know, pockets of the game that are similar to those three pillars of what hold the game up for me. But really, when you boil it down, at least for me, I'm not saying for everybody, but for me, those are your three tent poles, right? My belief, anyway. I got another tweet to read. This one came from a guy who said, feel like bind on accounts take fun away. Never replacing gear is lame. Love the XP buff, but not trivialized content. And Ghostcrawler ripped back. I see where you're coming from. Not ripped. He wrote back. But they're more, they're more aimed at people who feel like they're done with the gear and with the leveling thing. So that's interesting. But are we ever done with the gear and leveling thing? I like to have gear and I like to level. I'm never done with it. All right. Someone else asked if you could remove one add-on and all like it from the game, i.e. recount, SCADA, DBM, etc. Why? What would you remove and why? Kind of a weird question. The question is usually what add-on would you most like to integrate into the game? But this one was like, if you could just get rid of one out there and just a popular one, just say, I don't want that in the game anymore and ban it. He says, I'm not sure we want to remove any of those. Mods are generally good for the game and players like them. In a second tweet, he said, maybe a mod that is cheating, which we tend to block anyway, or something so unstable that it causes players a lot of grief. So, simple answer to an interesting question. And then finally, this tweet, do you feel warlocks are generally behind most other pure DPS classes in terms of damage and CC, especially mages and rogues? The answer came back, warlocks, no. Hunters are the only pure that feel a little low right now, and we are buffing them slightly in 5.3. Woo! Hunters, baby. Giving us the love. All right. That's it. That's it for those tweets. I think it might be time for this.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
All right, Town Crier, it's where you guys send us emails, send us calls, we answer them, we listen to them, and we talk about them. Brought to you by Doghouse Systems. DoghouseSystems.com is where you want to go to get the best gaming rigs possible. Every spec you want, everything you need, the warranty you need, the quality you want, a free t-shirt with every order, I might add. Still doing double the memory with the Henry code. They're amazing. DoghouseSystems.com. I love mine. If I could just go make out with it right now, I would, sitting right over here. I love it. I play all my games on it. I've yet to be able to throw anything at it that it won't run on all maximum, all ultra. It's a hell of a box, and I love them. It's DoghouseSystems.com. Check them out today. That's DoghouseSystems.com. All right. You can call us, 801-471-0462. That's 801-471-0462. Leave us a message. We'll play it on the show. Or you can email us your questions at theinstance@gmail.com. That's theinstance@gmail.com. All right, let's get to a call. Just one today. Got a bunch of real. You guys got to send them shorter, by the way. Keep them like 30 seconds to a minute max. Get these like 4 or 5 minute calls, and it's like, ooh, can't play those. But we did get this one right here.
Hello, Instance crew and fellow Instance listeners. I have a question for you. I frequently hear you mention the chat room and other live listeners on the podcast. Now, I'm curious, how do I listen in on the live recording of the Instance? When do you record, and where do I go? Any details would be greatly appreciated.
All right, most of the time, it's a Friday. It's a Friday morning at 10 a.m. Mountain Time, which is 9 a.m. Pacific. And what, 1 p.m.? No. Sorry, noon Eastern Time. And you find that live link at, you can go to theinstance.net, and there's a link for it, or you can find it on the Frog Pants page, which is at frogpants.com/live, I believe. Is that where I've got that now? Hold on. I should know this ahead of time. /live. And you'll get to watch it absolutely that way. Now, the thing is, like today, we're doing it on a Saturday, so things switched around a little bit. The absolute best way to find out what's going on and when with this show is to follow us at Instance Show on Twitter. Even if you're not a big fan of Twitter, I recommend hopping in with an account. You never even have to tweet once. Just follow important stuff, one of them being that Twitter account, and you can find out what's happening, or you can join our page, like our page on Facebook. That will get you the same results, which is at facebook.com/theinstance. And you'll find out there when we're going live as well. And that'll tell you right when you can get in. You can click the link directly, hop in, enjoy, join the chat room. It's an IRC chat room, so you can use the IRC client that's your favorite, or you can just use the one that's built into the page. That's how you do it. We'd love to have more people here live. Again, usually Fridays, 10 a.m. Mountain Time. That's where you can find that. Okay, got an email here from, let's see, Chris, Night Elf Druid on Shadow Council says, hey guys, forgive me if you guys have covered this already. As it stands, the next talent point will be in 15 levels. This would probably be level 105. 3 expansions from now, assuming 5 levels per expansion. This is obviously bad and probably not what Blizzard is going to do. So I see a few possibilities. Number 1, another talent revamp. Okay, but I doubt it. I think they're going to keep talents the way they are, but his next one is probably more likely. Number 2, simply ignoring the level 15 level interval going forward, give us another talent at level 95, probably the simplest approach. That's what I think they're probably going to do. Number 3, they will add 15 levels in the next expansion. Not seems unlikely. I completely agree. That is very unlikely. There are probably other options we're not thinking of, or that he didn't think of in his email. But I think ignoring the 15-level interval is probably what they're going to do, and they'll give us one at 95. So watch for that. You know, I mean, I still believe in my heart of hearts, at some point, it's not that unusual. It wouldn't be that unreasonable for them to change the nature of what an expansion progression means. It maybe that is 100 when they start doing this. I don't know, but When you're at level 105 or 110 or some crazy thing like that, that starts to just seem silly to me that those numbers just grow and they grow for no real reason. So why not change the way we think about XP and dinging? And I don't know what that means. You know, like Diablo does it with Paragon levels. Other games have tried other experiments. I'd like to see what Blizzard would do as an approach to you stay at 100 from now on, but instead there are these other things that give you the same thrill of leveling, or the same kind of, I don't know, the same kind of progression without it just having to be this number. And that's not even a very good explanation, but I think some of you might know what I mean. Love to hear your thoughts. You can email those to theinstance@gmail.com. Please do. Use that address often. Address often. And we always like to read them. So get those coming to us right away, won't you?
The drop of the week.
All right, before we do a drop of the week, we have Mark on the line. Hello, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. I actually have a question from stuff you were sort of talking about a little bit earlier. Sure. Curious what your opinion might be.
Sure, go ahead.
From other games that I have played that use a fairly different model, back when, for instance, when Star Wars Galaxies launched, which was the first online game I ever played, they eventually switched to a WoW-type model with classes, but in the beginning, it was essentially a skill-based thing. You started out with as much health as you were ever going to have. It wasn't level-based. You just earned abilities based off what you were doing. You use swords, you earn new sword abilities and skills, and every player could essentially be every combination they wanted.
Right.
It wasn't, you know, just stuck with one thing. You could be part healer, part range DPS, or whatever combo you wanted.
Everything except making it easy to be a Jedi was really, that game gave you pretty much every option you wanted. The Jedi thing was a little bit weird, and I know what they were trying to do, but yeah, you're right. It was all skill based, almost like Eve in a way. Actually, very much like Eve, the way those skills worked. They were different in terms of they wouldn't happen over time necessarily, in the same way Eve did. You couldn't log out and let your human beast tamer or whatever his name was. You couldn't let him have stuff happen overnight. But it was an interesting model for sure.
Right. The only other one similar to what you were actually just talking about, instead of, for instance, continuing to gain levels, was... And I'm surprised, and this is actually a game that still is charging their monthly fee, was in Final Fantasy XI, which is not exactly a lot of game design that I'm fond of, but they have the ability where you're sort of two classes at once. One class, you know, let's say it's level 50, and then you have a subclass that you have all the abilities that you would up to half of that level. So you'd be, for instance, a mage at level 50, and then some other subclass, you'd have everything you could do up to level 25, and you get sort of hybrid abilities and skills based off that.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, the people always say, like, fundamentally, I don't think WoW ever changes in that way. Like, I don't think they ever do. Like, that Star Wars overhaul was such a double-edged sword because it probably made it a more accessible game. But the problem with MMOs is you can't change the core. Otherwise, the players who are already kind of devoted to you get real pissed and leave. And I imagine there was some kind of giant exodus, even though the game wasn't doing that well generally, but some big exodus from that game at that time. And we saw, you know, you would see similar things happen. I mean, even when they threatened changes that never were implemented in EVE Online or that were leaked in memos, that created an incredible revolt in game and out. Where players were really, really ticked about that. And that's another game where you could not fundamentally change that stuff because you've already, the genie's out of the bottle. You've already given the game to the people who are paying for it what they want because they've stayed and they keep playing. And to change that, I'll bet if you asked any developer, WoW included, Blizzard included, I'll bet if you said to them, you know, and they were honest about it, what would you go back, you know, what would you fundamentally change? They'd have this big list of really seismic changes to their core game that players would not, players don't like change, and players would balk and have a problem with it. So all they can do instead is those same core, that same core systems that they built into the game in the beginning, all they can do is just build on those and expand on those. But we're always going to have cooldowns. It's always going to be keys one through equals. It's always going to be, you know, WASD to move around. It's never going to be us aiming. You know, they've never put Neverwinter controls in this thing. There's no way they would do that. And you know what? Neverwinter would never go back and do traditional hotbar combat. Why? Because you've established right up front the way the game is played at some fundamental level. And it's too bad because it'd be fun to see these experiments. I would love to see what an action-based WoW would be like. I would love to see what a... You know, maybe what Terra would be like if it was more traditionally, you know, dice rolls and cooldowns or something. I mean, there's a lot of value, I think, in seeing how that stuff would play. But players who pay for it, they're just not interested. So yeah, I don't know. That's an interesting thing to think about. Either way, Mark, you're currently playing WoW, I assume.
Yep.
All right.
Yep,
well,
been playing long time.
Stay out of the poop is my only advice. Stay out of the poop.
We'll do my best. Love the show.
See you, man. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right. Let's talk about this week's drop of the week. Corey Jones, you know the name. CEO of Cryptozoic Entertainment informed us about their new Kickstarter, and now the world knows about it. Not because of us, but in spite of us. New Kickstarter is the Hex MMO trading card game by Cryptozoic Entertainment. You know them as the TCG creators for WoW. They took that over when they split from Blizzard. Corey used to work at Blizzard. He used to be a big shot over there. And started Cryptozoic as a great way to work on Blizzard stuff, but all kinds of stuff. They have the Superman license. They have a board game based on The Walking Dead, which I have. I'm going to play that at Nerdtacular. There's also a rumor they're going to send us a bunch of their stuff so we can play them there, which would be a lot of fun. Excuse me. On the Kickstarter, it says, from the creators of the World of Warcraft trading card game, Hex is a TCG MMO that combines the best of both your PC, or the best of both for your PC and Mac. So it's a video game, guys. A video game. Interesting, if only in the sense that this is a TCG video game, not unlike what Hearthstone is when it's coming. I mean, everybody's getting into this TCG video game stuff right now. It's a big deal. Anyway, the video is interesting. You should check it out. They currently have some pretty good backing. They beat their initial goal of 300K. They're at 754,350 as of this recording. And I think it's worthy of support. Go watch it. You'll see why I like it, I think, when you look at it. I want to play this game. So be a supporter. Check it out. They can't do it without it in this particular case, and they're unlocking all kinds of new stretches. One other note, I'm excited about this. I'll be talking to Corey next week here on the show. A bonus episode sometime early next week, sometime between Monday and Wednesday. You'll get it on the feed. It'll be my interview with Corey Jones, the CEO of Cryptozoic. We're going to talk about what it was like to work at Blizzard, what it's like to work on a project like this, and TCGs in general, you know, what it takes to make a good, you know, collectible trading card game, and how the WoW card game holds up, and all those sorts of questions. It's going to be interesting. Interesting side thing for WoW players, I think, and really looking forward to that. So watch for that next week, my interview with Corey Jones from Cryptozoic Entertainment, and a regular episode at the end of the week. So bonus. All right. We're going to do a quick contest here. This is, anyone can win this. All right. We're not doing this just for the chat room, although you guys certainly are available to do it. And if you're listening to us live, that means you get a shot to get your name in now, which may or may not improve your chances. It'll be pulled at random, so I guess it won't, but why not get in while you can? I actually put it up on Twitter a couple of days ago. The link to go to is theinstance.net/contest. That's theinstance.net. The instance is one word, .net/contest, and enter to win a Deathwing Pro mouse mat. There are hardly any of these left in existence. I have one left over there. I'm going to throw in some secret bonus loot. So it'll be like opening a chest. You won't know what it is till you get it. It'll be like your own personal resplendent chest. That was my wrestling name in high school, Resplendent Chest. Anyway, Deathwing Pro mouse mat available to one lucky winner. We'll award it next week on the show. A week from Friday, yesterday, is when we'll do it. Again, that's theinstance.net/contest. Enter to win. You might be a winner. It's the bonus stuff you're going to get excited about, though. I got some stuff to throw in there that you're not going to expect. And if you live anywhere in the world, doesn't matter. You can win. We'll ship it wherever. Not to worry. All right, that's it. Guys, thanks for hanging out with me. I realize it's a little weird just having my voice on the show, but should have Dill, should have Terpster back next week, should have all three of us here in the room, and we'll bring you yet another instance. If you'd like to send us emails and stuff during the week, please do. Always happy to take your feedback, and if you have any questions, let us know. Theinstance@gmail.com, again, is that address. Please use it, and use it often. I want to thank the folks at GameTimeZone.com, where you can use the code INSTANCE for 5% off. And all you guys that leave us reviews on iTunes, thank you so much for those. I was going to read specifics today, but I'll let this one go this week. But please keep doing that. We love your feedback there, and it really helps us to know that you like the show. So thank you, everybody who left us 5-star reviews. Very, very much appreciated over all these many years. I mean, my gosh, you guys, when we hit January of next year, hold on, 06 to 07, 1, 8 is 2, 9 is 3, 10 is 4. 2011 was 5. Hold on. Thanks. We're almost 8 years of the instance. Is that right? Holy shite. Well, anyway, join us, won't you, for all of that? I want to thank Paul Swickard for doing our intern work. Does amazing stuff. Does the show notes, where you'll find show notes for this episode and more over at theinstance.net. MatthewOxley.com is where you can learn more about the guy who makes our music in the intro. He's awesome. Find us on the forums, show notes, and all that other kind of stuff at theinstance.net. On Twitter, you can find the show at Instance Show. You can find me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, and the_T for Terpster. And a note that on the Frog Pants TV channel on YouTube, which you can find at youtube.com/myextralife, or you can find it linked all over the place on Frog Pants and otherwise, we are, and the show notes on the Instance, we are putting this show on a pretty regular basis up there as well. Some video, some not, but the shows in general are up there so you can hear them that way. for those who really like to get all their entertainment through YouTube, which turns out there's a bunch of you. So your wish is my command. This episode will be there as well. Details again at frogpants.com or at theinstance.net. Facebook.com/theinstance is where you can find us on Facebook. More great shows just like this at frogpants.com. Chat room, I can't thank you guys enough for hanging out with me on a weird day like Saturday. So thank you guys so much for being here and being a part of the show. You guys are always cool, always the hardcores, and always up to the task. Much appreciated. That's going to do it for us. We'll see you guys next week for a whole new episode of The Instance. Instance.
Horde side.
Azerothian population crashes. It's the Overly Dramatic News. I'm Hunts the Wind. If things seem a little less crowded in Stormwind and Orgrimmar lately, you aren't imagining things. Azeroth lost 1.3 million residents in the last 3 months. But where have they gone? ODN's Special Investigation Unit, Eyewitness Moos, has uncovered the shocking truth. A faction of the Zandalari trolls has become obsessed with the Brawler's Guild and take very seriously the first rule of the guild, you don't talk about it. To ensure that nobody does, they've kidnapped participants in the guild, all 1.3 million of them, and are holding them in an underground complex on the Isle of Giants. Our reporters are the first to have... Hey, what's all that racket out there? Really? You're joking. You're not joking. Folks, it looks like the trolls aren't happy about us breaking the story. Undasta is outside our studios warming up his frill blast. We're evacuating the building. I just hope we have enough time.
Revan Geek and Noggin Fogger Elixir present Real Azerothian Heroes.
Real Azerothian Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Yay! No, wait, I can't use that.
Mr. Yay, no, wait, I can't use that!
We love the thrill when a piece of gear drops and immediately begin to fantasize about the stats and how it will look on our character.
I've got swag!
Sometimes we get so caught up in the numbers, artwork, and name of the gear, we forget little minor details. Like we can't really use that item anymore.
Vanilla!
There's not enough room for ranged boosts to agility for warriors and rogues, or agility staffs for hunters, but they will probably roll on them anyway.
It's still a hunter weapon!
So crack open an ice cold Noggin Fogger Elixir, you premature rolling, raid trolling, void storage filling gatherer of gear. Looking good in Orgrimmar is not a legitimate need.
Mr. Yay, no wait, I can't use that!
Follow me on Twitter at RevanGeek, hear old episodes at RevanGeek.blogspot.com, and subscribe to Revan Geek's Parody Palace on iTunes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Episode 9 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. I'm your host, Brewmaster Cohemulo. In this episode, we're going to travel to the Blade's Edge Mountains and visit Ogrelaw Keg King, located at, you guessed it, Ogrelaw. This vendor sells a brew called Dos Ogris. By this, you can probably tell this is a tribute to what we know as Dos Equis. If you've never had any of the Dos Equis varieties, they are some of the few mass-produced beers I recommend, and despite being brewed in Mexico, they're actually not Mexican beers at all. The relationship between Germany and Mexico goes back well into the 19th century, and many German-speaking people left their native homelands to resettle in this new part of the world. In fact, there are certain areas and cities south of the border which have a high German influence today, even celebrating Oktoberfest in German-style architecture. Prominent figures from Germany were noted to have traveled to Mexico, bringing their own personal brewers along with them. These brewers worked with locals to teach them their ways of European brewing, and these early styles taught to them are still evident today. There are two Mexican beers which are directly listed as Viana-style lagers, Negro Modelo and Dos Equis Amber. This style of beer is known for its subtle but earthy hop presence and a bit of toasted bread flavor from the malts. Of course, you'll not get these flavors if you drink the beer ice cold. Let it warm up a little bit, about 45 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit, and let all those flavors shine. So while you're woefully dragging another alt through the dreaded Outlands, make sure to stop by and see the Ogrelaw Keg King and try his Dos Ogris. You may not always drink beer, but when you do, you'll prefer those ogres. This concludes Episode 9 of Fermenting Azeroth, your brewing news from the World of Warcraft. Follow me on Twitter at Ferment Azeroth or visit the site fermentingazeroth.com.
Welcome to Azeroth's Fantastic Race, and I'm your host, Bro Baby. This week, our adventurers are faced with a detour. They can choose heavy metal or soft cloth. In heavy metal, the teams must put up 20 flyers around Silvermoon City to advertise for the band Level 90 Elite Dwarven Chieftains. Once all 20 are up, the teams then help with the sound check. Once that's completed, they can go to the next location. Revan gave me Morgrom, both know an incredible amount about music, so their teams obviously went straight for this quest. Morgrom and Gurb got the flyers up, but had trouble during the sound check. Revan Geek split up his team to try to save time, but the rules clearly stated the sound check could not be done until all the flyers were up. Even so, they finished mere seconds after Gurb and Morgrom. Both teams were then instructed on their next location. The other teams took on Soft Cloth. In Soft Cloth, the teams must go to Undercity, collect 20 silk cloths, and then wash them in the moat. Eludra and Miss Mulder quickly grabbed the flight point and headed off to Undercity. Demisrov and Terpster noticed this and chased after. Gills shrugged at Myalissa, and they also both took the flight point to catch up. Stumbasine was about to take a flight point when Tanadalen reminded him about the teleporting orb in the Silvermoon City. They were the first to Undercity and were able to complete their quest faster than anyone else. Once completed with the quest, the teams all headed to the Sunwell Plateau where the final leg of this round will take place. Check out the website at fantasticrace.blogspot.com and follow me at BroBaby. Be sure to vote for your favorite team, because next week, another team will be eliminated. Your vote will help decide who will stay.
Greetings, and welcome to Slashgrats. I'm your host, Efink G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is My Sack is Gigantic. The goal here is to equip Harris Pilton's gigantic bag. First, you're going to want to head over to an old place we used to call Shattrath City. It's over in, the Burning Crusade, that big city over there. You could probably take a portal or you could venture out however way you want. You want to head over to the Lower City. Now, in the Lower City, there's a tavern there called the World's End Tavern. It's located at about 7530. When you look at the map and it says Lower City, off to the right there's a little hut, little tavern. You want to go in there. Go in there and look for Harris Pilton. She's a socialite, I believe that's her title. Social person, she likes to talk. She sells stuff, rings and bags. But she has a bag called a gigantic sack. It's 22 slots, and at the time that was a lot of slots. You get to pick that up for about 1,080 gold. And once you equip it, you're going to get the achievement, My Sack is Gigantic, for 10 points. You can catch up on these segments at slashgrats.com. Feel free to subscribe via iTunes. Any feedback you have, send it to feedback@slashgrats.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am efinkg4. If you don't care about my cats and the food I am eating, you could just follow slashgrats. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Welcome to Science of Warcraft. This week, The Curse of Tongues. For those who don't play a Warlock, or just play Warcraft with the volume down, the Curse of Tongues is a spell that slows spellcasting by making the cursed character speak demonic. There are two possible ways that this is happening. One is that the curse is doing physical harm to speech centers of the brain. This is actually one possible symptom of strokes. It doesn't even have to be part of the language centers of the brain. It could be caused by harm to the motor skill centers. Either way, the person is unable to speak correctly. The other, more interesting possibility comes from dissociative identity disorder, often referred to as multiple personality disorder. Sometimes there is one personality that speaks languages foreign to all the other personalities. While the cause isn't completely known, it is believed that the person was around people who spoke those languages. So while he or she doesn't understand anything, the other personality unconsciously picked it up. So in this case, the Curse of Tongues is causing a limited version of dissociative identity disorder. Thanks for listening. Always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize. Please send any comments or suggestions to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com.
Thromkar, and welcome to Ask Miss Melgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, as a paladin, how should I approach studying the sacred texts? Sacred books should always be approached with great care. You can tell sacred books from more mundane ones because they are very shiny. At least, that's how they always look in the movies. You must be careful with sacred texts because they have a tendency to explode with light. I do not know if it is actual holy light or just some sort of special effect, like the kind Michael Bay uses. For this reason, I would suggest that the best way to handle sacred texts is with sturdy barbecue mitts. It might also be good to apply sunscreen before you look at them. And wear your sunglasses. Ask a fire mage. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Akamagosh! Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com. Thanks to Mimanth for this week's question.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there!